tell you that's what we do at the beginning.
I heard before. You sent me a link.
Oh, that's right.
I was ready.
Well, you've guessed it, friends. We have a super surprise male guest here. And we'll tell you about said male guest, and then we'll tell you who it is, just to get you really excited about our mysterious stranger here.
Oh, you're teasing them.
That's right.
You're being a little coy tease, and I like it. Yes, please.
That's what I like to do.
Very good at it.
All right. So, for today's Create podcast, we thought we would bring you one of my favorite people in this industry. This gentleman I met several years ago in an audition room here in New York City. He happens to be a casting director at one of the most major commercial casting houses in New York City, Miss Beth Melski. And he, on top of that, also is a teacher, a producer, a director, musician, artist, handsome devil with a rock star hairdo. Are you ready? No pressure to
no
be
pressure.
Amazing. We have with you today, with Kristen and I, David Bellantoni. Yay!
Hello.
Thanks for coming on our fun podcast. Yeah.
So how this all came to be is I was actually at an audition this week, and David and I were chatting, as we often do, and he likes to make fun of me for being Canadian, and then we do auditions.
Fun with love.
Fun with love. And then we've shared before about our shared passion of artists, teaching artists, helping artists like live their best lives and bring the most of themselves into the room. And David's perspective on this is particularly interesting as a casting director, because I think often what Kristen and I talk about in the podcast, David sees in the room all the time. So we kind of got talking about this, which led to me saying, hey, you should be on our podcast. And now you're in my house.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Here we are.
Well,
here we
are. It's so funny because I think one of the things that we talk about a lot about is because we all are one, we are all so sensory, and we can feel the vibes of another person. And so often we forget that we're always broadcasting our vibes. Right?
True.
And when you're in casting, like I feel like this as a director, when I'm sitting and all day long there's person after person coming in, what can happen is you get very attuned to reading people's energy.
Right away. Yeah.
Before they say a word.
Correct.
You can tell who's fun, you can tell who's game, you can tell who walks in the door, and it's like you could see the problems of their day hanging on them. You can feel someone who's dealing with resentment, you can feel someone dealing with anger, and it almost makes me feel like I'm like seeing someone without their clothes on, because I think that we get so used to being in our own skin, we don't realize what we're broadcasting.
True. Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as casting goes, the people who I know, and I know what their vibe is, sometimes I can tell if they have a bad day, and because I know who they are, it's much easier to deal with that way. Mm. If it's a new person, then you pick up that stuff, you know, because you don't have anything to pull from.
Yeah.
And for me, I want to make people feel at ease, because my view is if they do well in their performance, I've done my job. Mm. So I don't want to make anybody feel like, you know, and there are some days where I'm under a lot of pressure, where sometimes sessions fall apart and sometimes things aren't going swimmingly, you know, so I may be a little curt, but I have to move very quickly. But usually I do my best if I can to make the performer feel, you know, as comfortable and open and flexible as possible. Because you guys are in a vulnerable position, you know, in my view. So it's my job to sort of make it better, to sculpt a good performance.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
because
tell
if,
us,
you know, if I get people who are tight, and just feeling like they're just uneasy on camera, the director's like, well, what happened here?
Mm.
Who are they going to look at?
Mm.
They're looking at me.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So tell us about what comes into the room that you see as, like, perhaps you know that the person's great. Like, I mean, particularly with, sometimes with commercials, I mean, sometimes it's really just smile to camera and pretend you're watching a television or, like, something really, really simple. And I'm sure even in that circumstance, there's people getting in their heads or people, you know, overdoing it or underdoing it or whatever those things are.
Right.
What are kind of the things that you see where people sort of from the inside out are you know, whether it's overthinking or just getting in their own way.
Yeah, overthinking. Right? And it's with practice, you know, that you're comfortable in front of a camera and lights, right? And then sometimes it's just, okay, act natural, but it's very unnatural situation. here's copy that's written very selly, and mm-hmm. Roy's don't sell it. So mm-hmm. how do you do that? So that's a situation where the more times you get on camera, you know, going to the schools that you guys are involved with, I think really helps. Just kind of getting yourself comfortable in that environment, really. Because the more you think about, okay, you're just, for example, Crest, right? You're coming in and you're talking to a dentist and you're supposed to smile and show your teeth and just get yourself into that environment. You know, if you're overthinking it and, you know, just, you know, out of that whole situation, then it's going to show right away.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you need to see it in the eyes. You need to see the smile in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can flash your teeth. But if the eyes aren't smiling, we can always tell.
Oh, that's a beautiful point. I bet that's across the board for all auditions.
Of course.
That you think that if you're doing something with your body, it's reading.
Yeah.
But that it's really what's
right.
coming
it's
through the
indicating.
Inside.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, every
right, it's not here.
That's mm-hmm. right. Everything's an inner game, right? So I always think it's so fascinating how the camera won't lie. So if
right.
it's not actually going on inside of you, we can tell.
Mm. Right.
And that's what's fascinating is I feel like what moves us is someone actually feeling feelings. So then our mirror neurons go off.
Right.
So if an actor isn't having a real experience, then that's when we as an audience feel like we're missing something.
Right.
So I always feel like for actors, like to be so facile that you could take yourself into these kind of like emotional worlds, in and out of them, and to make them real for you, just fascinating to me.
Oh, I love it. It's a toolbox, right? Especially when we get into things like improvisation,
uh-huh.
and all of a sudden it's like okay. And I always tell people in my classes because I've worked with so many directors, it's like the more you can give them, the better they'll see. Okay, it's going to be great in take 4 and take 17.
Mm.
It's always going to be new.
Mm.
Right, so smart, interesting, you know, keeping on top of it, mind moving quickly, but just being loose and flexible and focused.
Mm-hmm.
But also being aware of what the script is and what your character is. Because I know people, outside, the biggest thing that I do outside of casting is writing. So I have plays that I write, and I know a lot of people who are terrific in the work that I do in theater, but sometimes they're not great auditioners.
Mm-hmm.
Some actors really need to digest stuff and think about it and ruminate and analyze and go through this stuff. And I have a friend who's like a close friend of mine. He's been in a bunch of hit TV shows, and he's not a great auditioner because he gets in his head because he likes to think about it.
Mm.
In the commercial world, it's kind of like you got to like, right? You don't get the script beforehand. You get it the day of, you have to make quick decisions. You know, if it's a quick bite and smile, it's one thing, but sometimes there are actually interesting scripts where you have to make some choices and you got to make them quickly, you know, and go for it right away and like, you know, commit.
Yeah.
That's not for the person who likes to sort of, you know, lie in it and figure it out and ruminate. That's, you know, it's a different technique.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different skill. The ability to jump and go versus to absorb completely, digest, and then...
Yeah.
I love that you do, that you also have this writer side of you.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about your creative journey, like your journey to this point with all art forms?
Wow. Okay.
The AKA, we want your life story. Go.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I always wrote, and I mean, in school, I studied political science and English. So I had thoughts of going into the State Department. So I actually traveled to Washington, D.C. to do that. And I got a master's degree in international studies at GW. So when I went to undergrad, I went to school in California. I'm from New York, but I went to school in California. And that was on the beach and it was wonderful and it was like, you know, and it was very lots of theory. And then when you get to DC, theory's out. It's like you realize you're right in the midst, you know, in the midst of all the decision making, all the bureaucracy. And my thought was, well, maybe I can, you know, I was young, maybe I can change things.
Mm-hmm.
And not really. I mean, what the point is, what, when you kind of get into the State Department and the Foreign Service, is what that was an initial goal of mine. If you have issues with the executive, your job is not to question them. Your job is to basically make sure it happens. Mm. So, but in my mind, I'm more of the artist who likes to question. I always was told to question authority, not to follow it.
Mm.
So I took a left turn. I'd always written. So I moved back to New York. I got involved in the film business. I initially started in the art department. Then I started working as an AD. And I had a couple of injuries on sets. You know, sets can be very dangerous places. So I had a grip drop a huge piece of plywood, not plywood, but a 2x4. And it hit me in the head and knocked me out for like 8 months. So at that time, and as you guys know, film production is freelance. So, you know, I was for number one and two in a couple of producers' lists, but once you're out, because I had concussion and the whole thing and head trauma, and I couldn't think well. I couldn't, everything was dizzy and nauseous. So I was out. I had worked comp for a while. And then when I was getting better, a good friend of mine says, hey, this was in Los Angeles. A good friend of mine manages a casting studio in North Hollywood called Chelsea. It's now out of business, but it was very, back then it was a big deal. So I was already working as an AD, corralling talent, and I liked it. So I thought, let me try this. I won't have to get 4 a.m. calls anymore.
Mm.
And so I started working, basically setting up studio and running camera for casting sessions and doing commercials and that kind of thing. And I realized the commercial world could allow me, the jobs are quick turnover, but it would allow me to pursue my other projects.
You're writing.
Correct.
So during the time that you were on set and you were in the art department, were you writing throughout that time as well?
Yes.
And so,
yeah.
So there's always been...
I taught myself.
You self-taught?
Yeah, self-taught. I mean, I learned writing skills in English courses in college, you know, but that's creative writing.
Mm-hmm.
I had to teach myself playwriting and screenwriting.
Wow.
You know, by reading screenplays, by reading plays, by, you know, connecting with friends who had more experience than me. And that, to me, that was great. But to me, if you have the characters down, I approach it from character first. And I put obstacles in their way, make it interesting, make it challenging, make it funny, make it real, make it authentic, all that kind of stuff. So the casting thing, I moved back to New York. I was in LA at that time. So LA, everybody's basically angling for everything. Right? Everybody's an actor, everybody's a director, you know,
yeah.
The craft service guy, I want to be a director. So everybody's writing screenplays, and screenplays are really hard to produce. You need a lot of money. So in the meantime, I connected with some people in a group called the Actors Gang, which is a Tim Robbins group.
I know the Actors Gang well.
Yeah.
Because I went to UCLA.
There you go.
And so when, like, all of my, like, roommates and stuff were, like, stage managing for the Actors Gang or interning, or so we would always, like, 18, 19, I'll go see their shows, and they were only, like, 10 years ahead of us.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there you go. So LA has a, you know, so you lived in LA. That's right. You're California.
That's right.
So... L.A., you know, people think L.A. theater, there is none. That's not true.
Yeah.
But I also thought, well, I can get stuff out there. You know, my screenplays are sitting there gathering dust. Let me get my plays out there. Let me see my work done. And so I kind of liked pursuing playwriting because it was just easier to get done. And basically, I could see it staged. I could see it performed. I could see it improve.
Yeah.
Go back. Do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the casting... worked well, obviously, because I was funneling wonderful actors that I was meeting on the auditions into my shows.
Wow.
So, I'm curious about how does, for you, for your in your process, how does an idea usually come to you?
It depends. I'm working on something now. I actually have a show coming up 20th and 29th at the Barrow Group. This is based on real-life experience of my family. So a lot of it is based on stuff that I've experienced, but sometimes it's things that I write.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's things that inspire me. It is, like I said, usually character-based.
Uh-huh.
The last show that I put up was something that did not happen to me, but I was part of an environment where I saw, it would be really interesting to see if this happened to this person.
Uh-huh. Mm. So it's that same curiosity you were talking about with even in the... going into the political world. It's like there was that wanting to quench that thirst of curiosity, and then the writing is just an opportunity to do that without anyone saying, no, there's this rule, there's this thing you have to do about it.
True. There are rules, but not the same.
Right.
Not necessarily creatively like that.
Right.
Right. Yeah, which is nice when it's lower budget, you know, where you're self-producing, then it's, but if you're writing and directing like I am, nobody's over my shoulders. Maybe make this a little, you know, it's like within the actor, within the rehearsals, we workshop it, and I love when actors say to me, let's try this, let's try that, what about this, and then we kind of workshop it and make it better internally.
And is it your preference to direct your pieces as well, or direct in general? That's another calling.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And what is it about the directing that lights you up in that way?
I love sculpting a good performance, whether it's, you know, within an audition room or an entire play. I love seeing stuff that I've written come to life. And sometimes it's like, it's great for me if something falls flat and an actor comes up with an idea to make it better. To me, that's true collaboration. I love it. Mm-hmm. So, but to me, directing... almost like if the writing and the casting isn't there, to me, you're done. Casting is so, I think, undervalued as far as, you know, if it's a character piece. To me, it's if you cast it properly, it's 75% of your work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I believe that.
It's so, I feel like as a director, casting is so much of the success is if it's cast well. And because the right actor knows how to serve this as a character.
That's right.
And if that essence is inside of them. And I've made the wrong casting decisions before, and I've made them and known that I've made them. Do you know, like, that kind of thing where, like, whether you had a producer that, like, convinced you to hire someone else, or you cracked under, a financial pressure, all of those things. And it always teaches me, like, the only job is to serve the story. And the job is hire the actor that serves the story.
That's right.
And everything is in service to story. And any time that I drop that mantle is when I have failed the story.
Right. Well, sometimes you're forced into a casting decision, let's face it. I mean, sometimes the actor that you love can't do it or gets sick or has an issue. In L.A., it's a much bigger issue, in my view, than in New York, because I was casting people in L.A. who were, like, bouncing off to do major TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to hold them for, you know, an equity wave of play when they're going to make, you know, $50,000 that week on a TV show, and I understood it. So you have to cast three deep sometimes, and in some roles that doesn't always work. So, you know, you do the best you can under that circumstance.
I'm curious, has casting affected your writing, and has writing affected your casting?
Yeah, there's definitely a cross-pollination, no doubt. For example, I'm in a theater group right now, and there's this play that I have coming up. I definitely wrote it for this person. There's no doubt. And I've told him, like, basically, I want you to be in everything I write for this particular company. As long as you're in the company, I want you to be involved.
What kind of themes are you usually interested in exploring when you're writing? Do you see certain things come up again and again?
Yeah, family dysfunction is a good one.
I think we all have that one.
Right? Because we all understand it.
Yeah.
Right? It's just different flavors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, California, Canada. I'm New York, so... get different flavors, but similar issues.
Yeah.
And when you guys see them perform, it's going to hit you. You know, if it's genuine and it's heartfelt. I do believe I like drama, but there's got to be laughs. I don't like heavy-handed stuff. I really don't. I like dealing with heavy issues, but there has to be, almost like music, there has to be an up and down. You get some laughs, and you get some moments of tension and moments of release. It can't be just this monotone of, like, that kind of stuff. When I was younger, I think I did that more. I wanted to hammer people with my opinions, and now I realized, as growing as a writer, as an artist, it was kind of like, no, don't do that.
I think actors can fall into that trap too, right?
Yeah.
Because you think you want to, like, go all the way in, but really, like, the true story of humanity is that it's ever evolving, it's ever shifting. You know, it's like when you see someone in deep grief, that moment is not the same from one second to the next. There's laughter, there's tears, there's anger, and it's moving all over the place all the time. I mean, one of us could pick up our phones and the next minute be in a totally different emotional place and then get another call and it could change again. So I think that's important for us to know that we're not meant to make ourselves wrong for being a varied experience, but we're actually meant to bring that to what we're doing, and that, you know, the more we can bring of ourselves to whether it's something we're acting in, directing, writing, producing, directing, whatever piece of the puzzle we're playing, we have to play it in the most human way that we can.
Yeah, great point. Great point about mourning. It's so true.
Yeah.
because it's fairy, but you know, and sometimes it runs you,
mm-hmm.
and you have to surrender to it.
Mm-hmm. And I actually don't think that even in my experience of auditioning for commercials, that it's that different of a thing. Like, I think that it's easy for people to look at one medium. Like, if I'm auditioning for, let's say I'm auditioning for a multicam comedy, definitely there's a difference between auditioning for a drama. There's a difference in pace. There's a difference in tone. And those things are really important to know and to value. Like Kristen was saying, you have to know what story you're telling above and beyond. And yet I also believe that, you know, the way I would audition for a commercial has to be the same I would go into audition for anything, which mm-hmm. is bringing the most of myself to that moment, which would include me as a human feeling sentient person, right? And we were joking that the apartment that I'm in now is decorated by the Home Depot commercial that I booked at your office.
Yeah.
And but what was really interesting is I've told this story to our community. I wanted to manifest this new apartment, and I was out on Street Easy looking, trying to hustle and find an apartment. For months, it was just like dead end. So I was like, well, I need to get myself in the feeling place of my perfect apartment. Mm. So I would just sit and meditate every day of me being in my apartment and like painting my perfect apartment color walls. And like, I just dreamed the whole thing in my head.
It's a very calming color.
So you guys called me in for this commercial. And I remember, whether it was you in the room or one of the producers saying, just pretend you're painting a wall and we just want to feel what that feels like for you. I mean, literally, I'd been doing this in my meditation. So I was so deeply connected to painting a wall being more than just painting a wall. It had a feeling tone for me because it's something I had been creating in myself. And so I always joke when I tell the story of like, because I had gone there first in my feeling place in my meditation, when the opportunity kind of came to me to do it in the audition room, it just felt more full. So I do think that whatever we're creating, whether it's a play or a piece of commercial copy or, you know, something that's in a basement of a theater that two people might see or like a network TV show, it's actually all the same in terms of the artistry and the feeling tone that you bring to the piece.
Agreed. Yeah. Because you were connected to that moment, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds so easy. You're just painting, whether it was a roller or, but it resonated. Right. Mm-hmm. Into mm-hmm. a deep place. And people saw that. Like, mm-hmm. wow, okay, she's really in the moment, even if it's like 3 seconds on camera.
Right.
It's yeah. it's like everything that we're doing is trying to get to truth. And we can tell when something is full of truth, full of some sort of emotional reality, or whether it is missing that.
And I think that's where the casting game gets really tricky, because I think a lot of us don't bring our truth into the room. We bring the truth we think you're going to want into the room. Like, we bring the people pleaser into the room. Like, I think they're going to want someone like this, so let me try to be like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure whether it manifests in trying to be your best friend that's
the
worst
or, right? It is.
Yeah.
Honestly. Or when people, sometimes I'll ask, what's your age range? What do you want it to be?
Oh.
And I'll sit there and say, wrong answer. Tell me, come from here first.
That's right.
Don't try, because sometimes you don't know what I want.
Mm.
Sometimes the directors don't even know what they want.
Right.
You know, when we're, you know, not even so, saying.
Yes, sometimes
it's like when they're looking. As far as casting, sometimes it's just, let's try this. Casting can be an experiment.
Yes.
You know, let's see if this age group works. And they look at it like, nah, let's try this. And I get it. You know, they're kind of, if they have the money, they can explore.
I just had this experience where I thought a character was one thing. Like, if I had to list the adjectives, I would have said this character is this and this and this. And we recently cast someone who is totally not a different type. And I'm like, that's who the character is. And I didn't even know it until I saw it.
That's right.
Mm.
And
right.
I was like, oh, I...
Yeah. And it hits you.
It hit my heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's when you know it's right. And
mm-hmm.
it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that to me is the worst way for an actor to come in and just like, what do I think they might... Same thing for writing, honestly, in any of the arts. Like, let's create something for what other people, you know, what we think they may want.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Make
your choices here.
Mm.
Right? And come in, come strong, come real.
Yeah. It's so funny. I'm having bulbs go off in my head, you know, in that there are so many times when I look back at pieces that I wish was stronger, I can see the part in me that was trying to please the audience as opposed to just be honest about what a moment was.
Right.
Like, I can literally see that in my work and go, oh, I was trying to make that look fun, or I was trying to make that cool.
Trying to push it.
I was trying to push it.
Yeah.
As opposed to just sitting back and going, what's going on in this human being?
Mm.
And I can look back now and go, oh, sweet little Kristen, how lovely of you to have that practice.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's so interesting that it always comes back to that.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can't blame somebody for trying to push. We've all done it. To try and make a moment more full, and a lot of times it falls flat, like you mentioned, and sometimes it may take you in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in rehearsals, for example, when something that you're shooting, and it could change, right, from rehearsal 2 to 3 to 5 to
yeah.
6, and sometimes those moments create themselves.
Yes.
And you kind of discover that, like, okay, that's the one I want. Do that again. Let's shoot it.
Mm.
That's right. Isn't it funny how something feels good in your body when it's right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure that happens with you with casting.
Yes.
Shooting someone over again. Something will just, like...
Yeah.
Feels good.
I'm going to try and... Whatever I just did with that guy, I need to have happen again. But it's going to be a different person, so it's not...
Oh, that's interesting. That even for you, you have to look at each actor, there's no system in place of like, oh, this worked with this person, so now let me repeat that all day.
Well,
you're looking in each person to bring out that essence.
That's true. I mean, there is a system in place as far as, you know, if there's a script and we have to try and hit certain moments and certain pauses and certain blocking moves.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes somebody will come in and do something really interesting and be like, you know, maybe let me try this and shift it around a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it hit me. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Wow, I should have thought of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the actor was in the moment. And then, see, those are the great people. When they kind of make you shift your whole perspective. It's like, wow, that person was really special.
Mm. Well, it's almost like they're so deeply listening to themselves and their own inside barometer of truth that, like, that you lean forward. Right?
Yeah.
That you go, oh, you're teaching me something.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens to me a lot as a director. Like, when I can tell that someone is, like, pressing their inner ear against their own compass of what is true in this moment for themselves, that makes me go, oh, you're listening to your wisdom.
Mm.
That is highly attractive.
Yeah. No doubt.
And I think that's what actually inspires us to do this podcast, to do this kind of work, is that you can have all the technique in the world, you can know how to do everything right on paper, but nothing is going to translate unless it's coming from a deeper place, from an internal place. And that sort of worthiness, that confidence, that curiosity, whatever it is for each individual person, that allows them permission to relax and be playful and be present and not be self-conscious, to be watching themselves, to be trying to please someone. Whatever that process is for each person, there's no way for us to say, here's the podcast on how to have that or how to do that. Everyone has to figure it out from the inside out, but no amount of technique is ever going to show you the
sure.
way to that.
Then you're a machine.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about creativity and fear. I would imagine that you see a lot of people wrestling with their own fears, but also just as a creator yourself, as a writer yourself, how you deal with fear in the creative process, and do you ever have writer's block, or if, as you take on a new project, what is your relationship with creativity and fear like?
The fear of what in particular?
Anything that comes up.
I've gotten better with it over the years.
Well,
I think, like, initially, like we were talking earlier, when I was younger, I wanted to, you know, please people more, you know, and then you push. So that's pushing is based on fear, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That shows you're not confident enough. You need to push the humor or push a point that you're trying to get across. Even though it's supposed to be dramatic and brought out through relationships, sometimes you want to have exposition and then push some sort of political angle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm very too, because I saw that in a lot of my earlier work.
Uh-huh.
You know, you go back and you rewrite. You know, I have something that I've been writing since 1991, keeps, you know, some of the earlier drafts, like, what is this? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, this is that. But you realize I was younger.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff was based on fear. And I honestly, I'm at a point now where I'm loving the process. And I'm not being necessarily completely attached to outcomes. Whatever's going to happen, I'm just going to do the best that I can. And with the moments that I have, create the best characters that I can create. Create a wonderful night of entertainment. If it hits me here and it doesn't hit the audience, that's okay. I believe that it will, though. So, if something happens as a result of some of these shows or things that I'm doing, you know, I have some things in development, but I've had things in development for decades.
Yeah.
And so, the whole idea of not being so attached to outcomes, I used to be very much attached to that. You know, I have to have this produced by this time. And then you get the disappointment and the fear that comes with that. What happens if, you know, nothing ever gets done? You know, that kind of thing. So now it's just, you know, I'm loving just writing and directing and doing that, you know, honestly. That's, you know, a lot of the fear is out of that. I kind of released a lot of that stuff. Writer's block, yes, it happens. Do I fear that? Occasionally, maybe at the moment, oh, what the hell? But then, you know, oh, I'm hungry, I'm cranky. I need to sleep. I need to put it away. You know, I don't necessarily, if I'm in the middle of something, I don't have a schedule like, oh, if I don't have 6 pages done today, I'm going to bang myself over the head. Some days I realize it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean, for example, maybe it doesn't happen on the page, but the brain is still moving and the heart is still moving. You're still generating this stuff. So the 5 pages you didn't get that day, it's going to come out better on Tuesday.
I love what you're saying about that fear is so linked to attachment to a certain result. And seeing even the writing process or writer's block no different than, oh, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I need to sleep. It's like, it's just a moment
in
time.
It's knowing yourself.
Yeah, it's just something that's happening.
I can be really cranky when I'm hungry.
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay, shut up and eat a steak.
Yes,
you know,
it's a moment,
then,
moments
wow,
pass.
Let me get...
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not the end of the... It's really not the end of the world.
I love what you said about creativity for your own enjoyment.
Yeah. Isn't that why? I mean...
Like, the pleasure, creating for the pleasure that you get of your own engagement with your heart. And when it's done that way, it's... I feel like it becomes devotional. But when you do it for yourself that way, and how that is like a key to freedom. If the only reason that I am showing up today to do my art on the planet is for joy and for fun and for my own relationship that I have with my own heart while I do it, like, then everything else is gravy.
Right. Nice. And all the rest is gravy. Also, I mean, there is an element of releasing pain and sorrow.
Yes.
So there, you know, there's a lot of work that comes from that as well.
Yes.
And I think I've grown out of, initially there's a fear of, uh-oh, I'm being so naked on stage. Not as an actor, but as a writer, it's the same thing. But after a while, it's like, you know, people are going to judge it one way or the other. And just, it's the process of getting it out there is a wonderful thing. And also it's being very, you know, it hits a truth. You know, sometimes the deeper you get to a truth where people all of a sudden they're like, when everybody feels it and you can sense that moment in the audience, it's an incredible thing.
Yeah, I feel like that's why we do what we do.
That is.
If you get to touch the truth, taste the truth, speak the truth, live the truth, and someone else gets to say, oh, that touched that place in me too, it's like, my work here is done. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And if we get to do it multiple times, you know, if we get to do it over our lifetime and we get to keep, as you said, enjoying the process of discovering more truths about ourselves, you know, it's like thinking of all of us in our different careers and the different ways it's manifested, and even the young little babies in us that were manifesting certain truths and learning certain little things about ourselves, and now looking back and saying, well, I'm so glad I don't have to learn that one again, like sweet little Natalie doing her best trying to figure out that truth, and now we're in the next one, and we keep unfolding and evolving. And so it's a interesting thing that some artists will get into a fear about lack or scarcity of a new idea, or like, if I did a really great performance, will I ever be able to do that again? And it's like, it's just always the tip of the iceberg, because we're always going further, deeper, that the art and the journey can only also be that. And we just have to keep saying yes and keep showing up and keep not being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And nice. I like those three. Mm-hmm. That was great.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And having a lot of like grace for ourselves. If we, I want to say, quote unquote, get it wrong, which
yeah.
is not possible, I know,
yeah.
but like, I think I just mentioned to you last week, I listened to this great podcast that had Travis Martin from Blink 182 on, and he said everything is always win or learn.
Mm,
you know?
Love that.
So, like, when we talk about those times where we pushed, or maybe wasn't honest, or those kind of things, like, oh, what a wonderful learning. I couldn't learn how to get more in touch with my heart
mm.
or be more truthful to a moment had I not gone through that. I always talk about, like, how I started directing was I just started directing. Like, I just started putting plays on. And I always say I learned because I directed a lot of bad shows.
Yeah.
And I learned what didn't work, right? So I would just be like, oh, if I just have those two people sit and just talk to each other for an hour, that gets really boring. Okay, they need to do something. Like, so I would, like, learn by literally just by through experimentation. You know?
Mm.
And so if everything becomes this, like, wonderful opportunity for experimentation, I think that offers us a lot of, like, freedom and grace to keep playing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, grace is big. A lot of times I'll say to my students, put the baseball bat down that you're hitting yourself with. Stop it. Especially on camera. So many actors maybe will do a take. And then right after they finish, we'll be like, oh, shit, they'll make some sort of self-critical comment.
Mm.
And I say to them, I didn't cut fast enough. Now I can edit this thing. But don't do that.
Mm.
Wait till you get outside the door. Better yet, don't do it at all. Let it brush off. It's okay. Sometimes mistakes are wonderful.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
Also, tell the grace is big. Yeah, the other thing that you guys were hitting on was... you know, that's why we're in the arts, because it doesn't really, there's constant movement and progression. There's
yeah.
no dead end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And I just think, like, what's the alternative? Not be an artist? You know, what's the alternative? We can complain about
numbers.
Right? We can
someone's worst accountant.
The worst. But yeah. we can talk about how difficult it is to be an artist, but we can also talk about how difficult it is to not be one when you really want to be one.
Yeah.
There's limitations and difficulties in curriculum and opportunities no matter what you do.
That's right.
So you're just deciding to not see that as something that's an obstacle. You're just deciding to see it as just what is, and I'm not going to resist what life is showing me. I'm going to just say, how is this the key to the next piece of the truth that I'm here to learn?
Right.
Right. And I love seeing being an artist as a privilege.
Mm.
Like, what a privilege that I get to collaborate. What a privilege I get to be in communication with my heart today. Communication with my pain. That I get to use what I'm doing as a way to express my feelings. Like, that is pretty rich.
All right.
Yeah, gratitude.
Gratitude, yeah. I think that's everything.
Yeah, we're lucky.
Yeah, we're lucky.
Yeah.
We live in New York.
We're
living our dreams.
Yeah.
One little moment at a time.
We won!
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes, it could be better, but you know, we're very fortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a bonus round for you. Are we ready for
okay.
a bonus
Let's
round?
Let's do a bonus round.
Let's do a bonus round.
Uh-oh.
So this is...
What do I win?
This is like... what do we want to call this? Like Jeopardy, where you're like... You have, like, 10 seconds to answer the question or whatever,
yeah.
right?
Blue, green.
Exactly. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your favorite part about your job? And you can talk about it both in terms of casting, writing, whatever jobs you have.
Getting people huge gigs where they can buy apartments like in Home Depot. I'm serious. Or, you know, saying that I just put away, like, 5 figures to my kids' college education. I just got my SAG insurance.
Yeah.
You know, it's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They come to me and they show appreciation, like the something, and it's very specific. Like, the way you directed me, the way you did this, shifted everything, got me the callback, and in the callback room, I was made to feel comfortable, and I got the job, and I really, you know, they bring it back. Obviously, they did it, but they say, you really helped that happen. And that's a huge, you know, yes, it's a financial thing, but it's the confidence thing. You know, you get on a roll.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, do I care about marketing Verizon? That's part of my gig, you know, to sort of make our clients happy. But no, when an actor really books and it's somebody who I really care about, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
What are you the most curious about right now?
what the next play is I'm going to write.
Mm.
I'm not sure what it is yet.
What's your favorite thing about New York?
That I'm a New Yorker. You know, it's the constant changing of the city. It's the energy. Of course, everybody says that. But there's a constant dynamic. Because I know the history, I have a history, but I also love the history in general of it. So I love being part of that. I also need to leave here. So I really do sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was just in the mountains and the Rockies for a while, and I was you know, it's, for me, it's either deep city or deep country.
Yeah.
But I need to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
What would you say to someone who said, I'm trying to break into commercials?
Take classes. You know, take classes. Keep getting better. Don't give up. But yeah, constantly have to network yourself. Figure out ways. You know, it's so much easier now in terms of you can do all these... you know, web shows, it's a lot easier to direct things and get things out than it used to be.
Mm.
So stay confident, stay focused, keep taking classes, keep meeting people, get an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You do need an agent to get into my office,
mm-hmm.
to get into a legit casting office. You really do need an agent or a manager.
Yeah.
So work on getting that first. But also, while you're doing that, you know, establish contacts with casting directors as well.
Mm-hmm. What most inspires you?
A great performance inspires me. Feeling love inspires me.
Mm.
Goodwill towards one another inspires me. Sometimes anger inspires me, honestly.
Mm.
I have Italian blood. You know, so sometimes I get pissed off and that'll inspire me to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, for example, in politics, for example. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things to get angry about right now, in my view. So that can inspire me, but you can do, you know, that doesn't mean it has to be a negative response to
mm-hmm.
it, but that can inspire kind of hot blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any final questions? Final thoughts?
Where's somewhere that you still want to go? Somewhere in the world that you'd like to travel to?
I haven't been to Asia. I need to go. I'd like to go to Southeast Asia. I don't want to go to Korea right now.
Yeah, we'll keep that one.
Yeah, but I'd actually really like to go to Vietnam.
Mm.
My father served there, but the whole French Asian thing is really interesting.
Mm.
Of course, I'd always love to go back to Italy and France, but because it's been a long time since I've been there.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, there's, I, you know, also because I have Nordic blood,
yeah.
and I haven't been to Finland and Lithuania.
Yeah.
Those are two places where I have blood.
Mm.
I haven't been to either, so I have blood relatives that are there.
Wow.
So that would be really interesting to see.
Wow.
Because when I look at people from that area, that's what I look like.
Wow.
So that I would like to connect with that part of the world.
I'm
not
excited about what you're going to write about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there feels like there's something there.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I would not want to go there in the winter when it's like if the sun drops at 3 o'clock.
No, thank you. No, it's funny. As you were saying that, I was thinking, one of the most important things, I think, in being an artist is living your life so that you have something to contribute to
adventuring.
Your art.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Sometimes getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Mischief.
There's a great
yeah.
Osho quote that we love is, why would you follow the rules when they were made by people who want to rule you?
Oh, good one.
We say that a lot when we want to get in trouble.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. But getting in trouble, sometimes those create wonderful stories.
Mm-hmm. And some of the best experiences
yeah,
ever.
Because you're not reading about them, you've lived it.
I know.
One time off the air, we'll tell you about our travels together.
Yeah.
To foreign countries.
Sometimes when I'm working with Kelly Devine, I'll say, I'll just be like, you know you can really trust someone when you've been in the back of a cop car with them.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's
those
right.
kind of memories are like
right.
here.
No doubt.
One last question.
Yeah.
For any actor who might be listening to this who... may have an upcoming audition with you or may one day find themselves in your room. What do you want them to know?
a couple things. Be both open and fun and flexible. Be also professional.
Mm.
And these are the basic things of, like, getting there on time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not getting there on time, make sure that you communicate that to your agent. This is basic stuff. If you can't, you know, for example, if you need to book out, let people know. Don't just, you know, run your business like it is a business, like you care about it, like you're a professional about it. But also when you come in, friendly but not overly familiar if I don't know you yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to the mark, do your job, be open, be friendly, be real, be truthful, be authentic, be all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you're done, forget about it, move on to the next one, you know.
That's it.
Let go. Surrender,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because there will be a next one.
Always.
Yeah.
Detach from that outcome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for coming and talking with us today. This has been, like, such a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you.
I knew you were deep, but I'm glad I finally got a chance to, like, dig in and get to know that side.
And I can't wait to come see your show at the Barrow Group.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the name and when it opens?
Sure. 28th and 29th. It's part of a festival called the Network Theater Company.
Uh-huh.
You probably know Paul Michael.
Yeah.
Right. So he's got he's got the acting organization, but he's got a theater company. So I'm part of that. So it's a festival that it runs from pretty much the last weekend of September. So my shows are the Thursday night and the Friday night, 8:30 start. So
great.
It's a sequence of plays. Mine is the last one.
Finale.
So, yeah, I'm the finale. He always puts me in the finale. I know why. I'll say that for afterwards. My show is called Three Kings.
Three Kings.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you
for being who you are. I mean, for years, I've been auditioning for David. For years, I felt very comfortable. And I'm grateful for who you are, for all of us actors. I'm grateful for the time that you gave. And I'm grateful for the work you're making in the world.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, get ready. Here's my professional, Natalie. Ready for it?
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. You can find us at www.thecreateseries.com. You can also catch us on Twitter and Instagram at thecreateplaygroup.com and join us on Facebook at the Create Community Facebook page.
And if you want to see us live and in action, we usually teach once a week. And you can go to our website and find out when and where and what.
And if you're interested in connecting more with David, finding out information about his shows, you can also go to the Create Community Facebook page and we'll post all that information there. Cool.
That's it.
See you soon.
Thank you.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!